Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I am your host, Matthew Cause. Raptors losing to a very good and much healthier Miami Heat team last night. Joining me now to talk all things basketball, it is one of the hosts of Raptors Beat, which you can hear every Thursday at 10 a.m. It is Raptors reporter Josh Lewenberg. Josh, thank you as always for joining the show today.
How's it going, Cause?
I am doing very well. Been lucky. I'm up in the cottage country, so I survived all the ridiculous snow that hit Toronto. I hope everyone listening is good and is safe. I started the show today not talking the NFL. I started by talking about Pascal Siakam because I think things can get missed and slip through the cracks, but And Siakam, I mean, I wish there was, you know, he'd gone to the free throw line against Miami, but put up another good game against a very good Heat defense. But his game on Saturday against the Milwaukee Bucks, against Giannis, against that defense, that's might have maybe the best game we've seen from Siakam in over a year. I'm curious your thoughts on the state of Siakam.
Well, I think he's silencing a lot of the critics right now, right? And there's been a lot of them, justifiably so, over the last couple of years. But it seems like any time anybody says that Siakam can't do this or can't do that, like for a while it was Siakam's effort defensively is too inconsistent. He's been defending at a really high level recently. He had 5 steals yesterday. Pascal doesn't move the ball enough or isn't a good enough playmaker. He's taken that to a whole nother level this year, 10 assists in back-to-back games now. His playmaking, he's making all kinds of reads that we've never seen him make before. And then even the stuff, I get it after last year, but a lot of people talking about how he's not clutch, how he's not making plays at the end of games, and he's been a lot better in that regard over the last little while as well. He's playing really well at just about every facet of the game right now, so it's balanced. His overall game on both ends of the floor is great, and consistency has been a key as well. He's doing it every night. It's not just 4 out of 5 games or whatever. So I like the way he's playing. I mean, he talked recently about how well he's feeling physically and mentally, and clearly that shows. I think with Siakam, so much of it comes down to the mental side of it, right? And he's in a really good place right now. He's talked about not getting too down on himself when things don't go well. If he's missing shots or doesn't have a good game, he's not being as hard on himself or as critical of himself as he has been recently. I think that's been a big part of it because it does look like he's the Siakam of old in terms of he's smiling, he's laughing, he's engaging with teammates. He's been a really good leader off the court this year. And that's what Pascal Siakam looks like when he's at his best. That's what he looked like when he was part of the bench unit with Fred VanVleet, the bench mob. That's what he looked like when he was the most improved player and helped lead the Raptors to a championship. And that's what he looked like before the pandemic when he was an all-star and all-NBA caliber player. And I really think not only has he gotten back to that level, but he's exceeded it. He's playing the best basketball of his career right now.
I agree, and I've been someone who has been critical. I'm the one who have flirted with the trades with Golden State for oodles and oodles of top 5 draft picks and all of that, and I love that Siakam is pushing me away from that because he's been great, and I think it's fair to say the best version of Pascal Siakam is the one where he has more free throw attempts than 3-point attempts. Not that he can't hit the three, but when he's going to the free throw line more than he's taking 3-pointers, I think that version is the one that looks like a second-team All-NBA player.
Yeah, I do think, I mentioned this on the broadcast yesterday too, is one of the things that he's getting better at is, in addition, obviously, the playmaking, which is generally a point guard or a guard skill or one that you associate with guards. Another skill that I think you associate more with guards than anything else is like that recognition of what's needed from you and when. Kyle Lowry was so good at it. Fred VanVleet is becoming really good at it. And we're seeing more of it from Siakam where it's like, okay, now it's time to make the play. Now it's the time to make the pass and get other guys involved versus now is the time to be aggressive and to get to the rim and to try to get to the free throw line. I still think as a developing playmaker and a guy that's getting more comfortable with handling the ball, initiating the offense, getting more comfortable with those guard skills. I think he's learning and growing in that area. He's gotten a lot better at it, but yeah, I mean, just in terms of being more assertive and aggressive and getting to the free throw line, you can't always control that stuff, but
nope.
Yeah, I mean, that's something he could probably do. Maybe that's the next step for growth for Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, and many nights he does it, and it's when you see that on a consistent basis, it's the best version of him. Like, he was great last night. He had 10 assists, but no free throw attempts. But where I sort of want to go from this, and it kind of actually leads to maybe no free throw attempts after having, I think it was 10 or close to it against Milwaukee on Saturday, is the minutes played. And my question, Josh, if a big deal, little deal, or no deal, where Van Vliet is first and Siakam's like third or fourth and Scotty Barnes is eighth. Like, just, and we saw it last night where the bench played a total of 40 minutes. I'm curious, big deal, little deal, or no deal, the minutes distribution right now?
Well, it's not nothing. I'll say that, right? Like, I don't know that it's a big deal. Can we go with medium deal? Medium
of course.
To big deal. Medium yes. To big deal. It's not sustainable over the course of a long season. I mean, you play seven guys last night, and Justin Champagne only played 9 minutes. So primarily, you're leaning on six guys. And it speaks to the number of players that Nick Nurse trusts right now. Now, granted, two of the guys that are in that circle of trust were out last night. No Gary Trent, no Kem Birch. So with a healthy team right now, it would probably be nine guys that Nurse trusts, which isn't bad. Like, that's an NBA rotation. That's nine guys. But at the same time, things happen. As the Raptors are well aware, based on the way that injury luck and COVID has played out this year, and Nurse mentioned it before the season, that like maybe 5 years ago you wanted to have 10 guys that you felt comfortable playing, whereas now with the COVID protocols and load management and all that, you need a lot more than that you can count on. It was really interesting, just the stark comparison, the difference between the two teams last night. Miami, if they're not the deepest team in the NBA, they're one of the deepest. And they didn't even have Kyle Lowry last night, and Bam Adebayo working his way back from injury. But you've got all of this depth at just about every position. Like, Gabe Vincent is the guy that didn't even play the game before because they're starting to get healthy. He started and played well last night. Tyler Hero is probably the sixth man of the year right now. He's coming off the bench and giving you 20-plus points. Like, that's a nice luxury for a coach. Spo has it. I'm sure Nick Nurse would love to have it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what you do if you're a Nurse, because what's the alternative? Is you throw Svi Mihailuk and Luke and Utah Watanabe, who haven't been playing well, the two backup point guards who haven't been playing well, you throw those guys out there for a few minutes and it costs you a lead and turns the game. And like, I understand why he's leaning on the guys that he's leaning, but it's not a sustainable thing. So I don't know. I see it right now as being more of a front office problem than a Nick Nurse problem. I get the dilemma from Nurse's standpoint. I think if you're Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster going to the trade deadline, that's number one on the list right now, is trying to add some depth to this team so that Nurse has more guys that he can use to try and ease the workload on Van Vliet and the starters.
Was there any more reporting about, you mentioned the Miami Heat, we're joined by Josh Lewenberg, our Raptors reporter, and again, 10 a.m. on Thursday, it is Raptors Beat with Nikki Reyes and Josh Lewenberg, and the next Raptors game of this station is Friday against the Washington Wizards. Has there been any other reporting on Kyle Lowry? And it's not about Prime, because he missed the game for personal reasons, but you know, this is obviously, the magnifying glass is a little bit larger when it was going to be Toronto against Lowry.
No, I mean, I haven't heard anything. My hunch, and I've tweeted this, is that it's unlikely that we see him here on February 1st. Of course, that's the rescheduled game. It was supposed to be February 3rd. Now it's February 1st, which means that it's the second game of a back-to-back for the Miami Heat. They're in Boston the day before. So I think there's probably a couple of factors here. One, it wouldn't be surprising to see him get a load management night in that game, but I also think, just based on knowing Kyle and obviously the situation, probably still no fans in the building at that point. It wouldn't be surprising to see him skip that trip and maybe use the load management to justify it and maybe target that April 3rd game in Toronto as his first return when hopefully there'll be fans in the building. Again, who knows about that, but certainly there's a better chance of there being a full crowd in April than there is in whatever that is a couple weeks from now. The big question, I think, is the January 29th game in Miami, whether Kyle is going to be available to play in that one. It's not as big as his return to Toronto, but that could theoretically be his first game against the Raptors, which we thought, of course, would happen last night.
Yeah, I mean, again, the first thing you hear for personal reasons, you just hope everything is good. And then the other side, as a sports fan, you get disappointed just because you want to see it. You want to see, you know, so much of it is you just want to see Lowry and Van Vliet hug, and then you want to see the two of them just do all the shady, shady things that they both know how to do.
Yeah, I mean, even going back to the origins of their relationship, of Lowry's mentorship of Van Vliet. I remember those stories of, like, they hit it off right away in terms of, like, there was a mutual respect there, and they saw a little bit, I mean, Kyle saw a little bit of himself in Fred, even as a young player. But believe me, as somebody that's been around Lowry over the years, it's not easy to earn his respect. And the way to do it is not by tiptoeing your way around Lowry. Van Vliet earned Lowry's respect by going hard at him in practice and competing and trying to take his head off, so to speak. So there's no question about it. When it would actually be a game setting, a competitive setting, when they're on two different teams, I'm really interested to see how that plays out eventually, because you know that both of those guys want to come out on top, both individually and collectively as a team, and get the win.
Just hope we see him sooner rather than later. Josh, as always, thank you so much. We'll hear you Thursday at 10 a.m. on Raptors Beat. All the best, my friend.
All right, Kyle. Talk soon.
Take care. That was our Raptors reporter, Josh Loomberg.